They will join us here in just a moment. And the Montreal Canadiens did it again last night. Like, that was a perfect game. Like, that was more impressive than what Tampa did a couple of nights ago, in my opinion, because what Tampa did was they turned the lights out on the Islanders, and then about halfway through the game, the Islanders packed up their bags and said, we're leaving. Like, yes. Thank you. We don't care anymore. Vegas never did that. Like, it was a tight game throughout, and Vegas never got through, and Montreal never allowed them to get through. But it's not like the Habs could ever feel that comfortable, and yet they never missed an assignment. They were perfect last night.
You tweeted it, and you said that's clinical from the Montreal Canadiens. And Dave Poulin does a lot of their games and watches them from the press box or wherever they do the games from.
Yeah.
And he even said it. He's like, that's probably the best game they played this playoffs. So that means it's probably the best game they played all year. And people got to stop with one thing that I think is nonsense. They still, and I don't understand it in this industry, like, we're looking for a Canadian team to do well, to have success, to have content, to talk about it, to write about. And people are still sticking with the narrative that the North Division was garbage and they shouldn't be there. Who cares? Even if the North Division was terrible, you can't take away from what the Montreal Canadiens are doing right now. They were awesome last night. The Vegas offense sucks. They're playing with a 2-7 offsuit offensively right now because they got nothing going on.
Terrible.
But you got to give a ton of credit to Montreal because that is as good as you can play defensively and structurally and take away offense and frustrate. But people got to stop with the garbage about, oh, they had no business. Some people that were in the industry saying they just shouldn't even be here, period. How could you be saying that?
Well, two things that you brought up that I'd like to address. The other one, the North Division didn't suck. Like, Connor McDavid.
It was the same as every other division.
Even if it did, Jamie, it don't take away from what they're doing on the ice right now. They're playing great.
Amazing. That's my point. That's one. Because every division had bottom feeders. Every division had teams that had injuries and inconsistencies and COVID and all of that. So
I don't care if they came out of the East Coast League. They're playing damn good hockey.
Well,
you shouldn't take that away from them.
So that I'm debunking I'm actually agreeing with you. I'm saying 100% the North Division didn't stink. And then secondly, the Canadians deserve the accolades because of how well they're playing. Right now, regardless of how they arrived or how they limped into the playoffs, I agree with Dave Poulin. I thought that was their best game of the year, and I watched every one of their games. I thought they were brilliant last night because I thought Vegas was going to take them to the woodshed like Tampa broke through the other night. And it was the exact opposite.
Never happened.
Opposite.
And the best compliment I think you can give the Montreal Canadiens is Carey Price was irrelevant last night. Like, he had nothing to do with the outcome. He did what he was supposed to.
He had a couple good saves.
Saves, but he's supposed to. The point being is, if you had have told me, if we're playing that game 2 months ago, they're in this spot, I'd say Price made 45 stops every game and put forth the greatest performance we've ever seen. They're not up 3-2 because of Carey Price. They're up 3-2 because they've been better. Period. End of story. Case dismissed, as some might say. Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I'm sure you see it the same way, Ray, or for the most part, but what has been most impressive for you about the Habs?
I think they have, I'm going to say everyone. I'm sure there's been somebody, but they have everybody playing as close to as well as they can at the same time. I mean, I think it's remarkable. Like, they got guys, almost the whole roster's playing within, to pick a number, like 10% of the best of their games. Like, it doesn't matter. It seems they need a goal. Kotkaniemi scores for the first time in forever the other night. And, you know, Caulfield's giving them some juice. Those big D are doing just what they envisioned them doing. Like, it's been super impressive. Like, they're not a fluke. Like, they deserve to be here. They were awful coming down the stretch, right? Like, somebody had something last night. If Calgary would have beaten Ottawa twice more, Montreal wouldn't have been in the playoffs. Like, it was that close. And yet it doesn't matter anymore. Man, remember a couple years ago, St. Louis was in dead last. They fired the coach. They grabbed the goalie, who wasn't even in their organization. They didn't want him. They had him as the third goalie in Providence. And then Binnington comes in, Berube comes in, they become the best team, and they win the cup. Like, you don't have to be the best team for 9 months. You got to be the best team at the best time. That's right. What they are right now. In this series, anyway.
You know what? The St. Louis example is one that we have not brought up enough because it's probably a perfect one for the Habs. Now, I don't know if they'll close, and I'm assuming I'll be in a position in a few days where I will apply the exact same prediction that I have in the first round and this round. If they play Tampa, I expect Tampa to win. That doesn't mean they will. That's why you play the games. I thought Vegas would win. I thought the Leafs would win. Winnipeg was a different story. But St. Louis, they got hot at the right time. They were built differently, right? Like, they didn't have superstars. They didn't have guys who, you know, they didn't have McDavid, McKinnon, Sid. They just had a really balanced quality team that was playing almost a perfect system and executed that perfectly. And since that cup win, they've kind of come back to earth a little bit. Like, St. Louis is still good, but they're not great. Yeah. And that's the truth about the Habs. This is not like a dynasty team, but it doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant, how you feel about them on paper or how you might feel about them next year. They deserve to beat the Leafs. They deserve to beat Winnipeg. They deserve to be up 3-2. This is not a fluke. They're outplaying Vegas.
And add one thing onto that, too. Like, even the way that they're built, like, you're talking about the goalie, Binnington. Now, Price has been great. But, like, that defensive core, that was one thing I remember we keyed on with St. Louis. Pietrangelo, Parayko, like, you know, long and big and mean.
Edmondson
was there. Yeah. Like, you know, they did their job. And I thought that defensive core, because I kept thinking to myself, okay, if they're going to do what everyone says that they're doing, there's going to be a parade to the penalty box last night. And that wasn't the case because both teams adjusted. And Montreal's D still got it done. Sherratt and Weber and Edmondson and Petrie were mean and big. But they got help from their forwards. Like, that's the one thing. Montreal, yeah, they can play gritty and they can play in that gray zone. Well, last night I thought it was going to be a parade to the penalty box just based on, you know, the narrative heading in. There was a couple penalties, and rightfully so, but they adjusted. Like, they deserve to be exactly where they are.
And, man, they can kill a penalty, too. Like, Vegas never even came close. And this is the thing about Vegas is where, you know, they're still a very good team. They're in a bad spot. But they are more about, you know, the sum of the parts. They, again, don't have a McDavid or a McKinnon or a Kane, where in a moment like that, you think, we need a guy going over the boards here who is just going to – he's going to dominate right now. Like, he's just – he's going to put us on the board. And you can sense that frustration.
Yeah, I sense the frustration in the first period. Like, they tried a couple of hope plays, like where you just flip it up and you hope somebody goes and gets it. And I'm like, man, it's like the game's still 1-0. Like, but you could just see the panic and the – tension in their game. Look, they don't have, you know, McDavid, McKinnon, but they do have a top six. Where are they?
I don't know.
Pacioretty's been okay. Pacioretty was good last night, really good last night. But I think one of their best forwards has been Nicholas Waugh. Like, wait a minute, where are the other guys? You can say whatever you want about the goalies. We spent too much time talking about that. And Marchessault, Smith, Stone, Carlson, I'm missing somebody else. They don't have a Pacioretty's got one goal and Stevenson just got back. That's it for their top six. Yeah. And so when we hear all the time about this copycat league and all that stuff, it's not, or it shouldn't be. You should look at your team and say, what do I have and what can I build best around what I have? And for St. Louis, St. Louis had all those big D. Montreal went and got the same thing. They, you know, free agency for Sherratt. They got Edmondson, signed him to a 4-year deal. Petrie, where they traded for 2 second rounders, and they've got Weber in the Subban deal. Those guys clog up the ice. They're tough to get through, and they score enough. It's like but not every other team can say, oh, I'm going to build with the Montreal model. Well, you can't find those guys.
Yeah.
Works for them. It works for them.
I wanted to bring up, like, they've done a job not just on Vegas's top six, but if you look at it, you go back right to Toronto. Toronto's top six, Winnipeg's top six, now Vegas's top six. And that's not just those 4D. Like, last night, was it Stone trying to go through the middle? And there were three guys on him. It was
and
like,
that's not
it.
His game. He's trying to dangle through three guys
like,
at the blue
line. They're
like
a giant snake. They just wrap themselves around the top forwards, and then by the end of the series, all the forwards are just lying on the ice dead. In the
it's true. And then
it
Stone,
is,
he kind of dogged the back check. And,
on the Caulfield goal.
Yeah, and like his disposition and what he was showing last night for a captain, I mean...
That's what happens, though, when frustration sets in. You're trying to make something happen. You're putting it on yourself. You're trying to do too much and ultimately ends up in the back of your net. That's the ultimate sign of frustration right there.
Yep.
One on
instead
three.
Instead of playing the way he normally plays.
Exactly.
And they just, like, now they're all trying to fix it themselves, which is death. Like, that's a killer. I'll tell you that both the Caulfield thing, the first thing I noticed, Corey Perry had a breakaway. He took one stride, realized he was the slowest guy on the ice, and pulled up and found Caulfield. I thought it was awesome.
It was like a play action.
No, I'm not. I'm now behind everybody, so I'll just pass it over here.
You know, yeah. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Like, he is such a did you notice he shot the puck left-handed? Did you see the one time when he went to keep the puck in the offensive zone? He switched his hands around and shot left-handed down the wall. Like, this guy is like, he's playing great hockey. He's really at the top of his game for what he has right now. But it's like these little plays that he's doing, the puck sticks
to him.
That's
a trained professional pickup. You notice Hazy didn't pick that one up. That's a trained professional.
Dude, if anyone knows shooting left, shooting right, it's me. I didn't just pick up on it. I made a note. But Noodles got to it first.
Did you make a note? Did you seriously make a note of that?
No, I didn't make a note.
Honestly, I was like, what is he doing? And the puck, it was rung around. He kept it in the offensive zone right by the blue line. And instead of going in cross body and awkwardly maybe getting hit, he shot left and then changed. I was like, this guy's doing it all right
He's
now.
He's doing it all at 750. So what is his contract on July 28th when we get to free agency? What happens?
Well, we'll see
with
if somebody way overpays for him.
Yeah.
Although he did it with Dallas last year, and no one did this year.
Like, right, but so you have to realize he can give you what he can, but don't expect more. It's almost like if you go and say, man, Jason Spezza had 10 goals, he had an unreal year, we're going to give him $4 million, you're going to be disappointed.
I would say if I was Corey Perry, don't talk to me until March, and if you want to sign me till something, I'll try to figure out something, I'll rest, and I'll be ready for the playoffs, and there you go. He was a healthy scratch a bunch of times at the beginning of the year for Montreal. Why would he want to put himself through? All you want him for is the playoffs and getting in there.
Well, keep in mind, in Dallas, I think he had 5 goals in the regular season. He was unbelievable in the playoffs, but it's timing. Like, Eric Staal down the stretch for Montreal looked his age. He realizes the magnitude of the situation, and I think he's been fantastic. Like, he is so strong on the puck, and he's got a little bit of bite to his game. I didn't realize, like,
Noodles,
you know him better than anybody?
Noodles, especially what we saw at the beginning of the year in Buffalo. That whole team in Buffalo, I don't know what the hell, if it was COVID or what it was, but they were all awful, and Staal included. He couldn't move out there. And now, what a goal last night. And him and his line mates, they're just dynamite down low. They're a handful.
Everything
is it's
just,
the perfect storm is what it is.
And it's off the rush. Like, the first goal is, you know, Anderson
on a
semi-breakaway. And, yeah, like, it's a two. I guess it wasn't off the rush, the Staal goal, but it kind of got drawn. He's in the slot wide open. Caulfield, slot wide open. Like, the first three goals, slot wide open, more or less. Yeah. You know, just waiting to pounce. And Caulfield does it again last night. Like, this is, like, you talk about making a first impression. He was getting a lot of hype anyway, but can you imagine what they're going to be thinking his projection will be for next year after he has a taste like this?
Probably think he's going to lead the team in goals with
maybe
35
goals next year.
Exactly, Hazy.
I think we lost Ray right? about 10 minutes ago.
Honestly, you know
what?
It's
a good point by you, though.
Chat, great point. Yeah. But
good
you
good
know,
point
I was
by
pick,
you, though, Brian.
Thank you.
I was going to pick up on that, too, though. Like, their three kids that are 21 and under last night were fantastic. That's Kotkaniemi, Caulfield, and Suzuki. And you know, that is what you're getting a glimpse of. Now, they may all take a step back next year. You know, regular season is different, expectations, all of that. But when you look at it, that's why you have the Toffolis and Andersons and that around these young kids, because you hope that if there is some stumble, that those veterans can drag you up. The other thing I'll say is that Phil Deneau doesn't score, but man, I think he's one of the best checkers I've seen in a long time.
Always on the right side of the puck, wins battles. You know, it's never flashy. It's just the right play all the time, or it seems that way. We've got Ray back. Let's switch gears here. We left you hanging there. You left us hanging. I made a comment.
All of a sudden, I'm listening to Noodles talk about Corey Perry, and I'm like, oh, yeah, and I go to chime in, and Noodles keeps going, and I'm like, I don't think they can hear me. And then my phone went dead.
Oh, Corey Perry was 5 minutes ago. We were on to Caulfield and the Bell Center.
We were saying about all kinds of cool stuff, and then we were waiting for you to chime in, and we're like, what the hell is this, Wayne's World? Nobody's saying anything.
I'm going to have to check in on the podcast later on. I'm going to have to check it out, man.
It was really good, and it was just on riveting. A tweet for you. It was Caulfield, and then we let it breathe for like 3 seconds, and we're like, Ray's not here, and he's been gone for 5 minutes. But what about your Islanders tonight? Any chance that they can put it back together or what?
Yeah, I think they can. I don't think they're going to fall apart. And that was a debacle the other night. But I just think Tampa's too good. I think everything that the Islanders can do, Tampa does just a little bit better, has just a little bit more depth. Man, the Islanders are a pain, though. Man, they'd be brutal to play against because nothing is going to be, you know, they're not going to lay down. But I think Tampa wins tonight. I mean, hell, the Islanders could win. It should be a madhouse in there again. This could be the last game ever at the Coliseum. But I just think Tampa's too good.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. I think most people are expecting that. I think even if you're down in New York, you're probably expecting it. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Islanders came up flying tonight and Tampa just kind of wears them down. And by the end of the game, somehow they win. You know, that's what they do, 3-2, 4-3, and then we reset. We see where we're at for Game 6 back in Montreal. All right, buddy, we'll leave it there. Good stuff, as always. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Thanks. Talk to you later, boys. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.